You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
You know, we celebrate the birth of Jesus in that manger, you know, and we know that He was God. And we tend to think of the goodness of Jesus. And in our case, as Christians, we will think about the sinlessness of Jesus. He was holy and sinless, and He showed us God. He was a light to our world. He was all that, no question. But that wasn't His real mission. That wasn't His total mission. He came to declare God to us. He came to visit us, Emmanuel, God with us. He became a man, became one of us, walked among us, showed us signs, wonders, and miracles, no question. Showed us who God really was. He was the express image of God's persons, no doubt. But His main mission, His main purpose, we might say in a military way, was a suicide mission. He came to die. He knew He was going to die. He didn't come here to live. Part of His mission was to declare God to us, yes, and to live holy, yes, and teach, yes, and all that. But that didn't fulfill His mission. His mission wasn't fulfilled until He gave His life. Because that was the purpose of Him coming. So, you know, we celebrate the birth of Jesus in that manger, you know, and we know that He was God, and we understand all that, and God visited us, and God fulfilled His word in that respect. But He came for an intent and purpose, and it was a suicide mission. And I say that, really, when you think about it, nobody really killed Jesus. Jesus laid His life down. He said, I'll lay it down, and I'll take it up again. But He came to die that you might live. This is not a selfish suicide. I mean, there's nothing holy or glorified in suicide. Are you with me? It is the wrong decision. It is, as much as we would honor a man who would give his life for his country, in defense of his country, the highest honor you can get, really, when you think about it, to just commit suicide with no purpose, no reason, is actually got to be the lowest thing you could do. Now, God's a good God and just God and forgiving God and all that. But we don't glorify suicide. There's nothing glorified about it at all. Jesus didn't come just to kill Himself. He came to die for us. Amen. Are you with me? So that is a little different, although it was a suicide mission in that sense. So that was the purpose and intent that He came for. And sometimes we forget that. You know, we grow up and we think about that babe in the manger, and we forget that that was just the start. He was going from the crib to the crucifixion, to the crown. Yeah. Amen? Yes. And if there was no crucifixion, there would have been no resurrection. Mm-hmm. And there would have been no crown. So, if you would, let's go through. I want to go through some scriptures here. Look at some of the things Jesus said Himself, and then some of the other things that were said about Him. Notice in Matthew, the 20th chapter. Matthew chapter 20. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not going to have a coughing fit in Jesus' name. In Matthew 20, and here He talks about people being important, people lording it over you and so on and so forth. He has a different take on this. He says in Matthew 20, verse 27, "Whosoever desires to be first among you, let him be your servant or slave." You want to be the big shot? You want to be one in charge? You know, I tell you, in any business or ministry, someone that's looking for authority, watch them, they'll hurt you. Somebody's looking for responsibility, nurture them, they'll bless you. Now, somebody's wanting to help you and be responsible for some things in your life, that's a good thing. Somebody's just wanting to lord it over you and control you, then that's not a good thing. Even Jesus proved that when He came. He didn't come to just lord it over, although He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. But His lordship's quite a bit different. He came not for us to die for Him, He came to die for us. That's not usually the way it works. Most militaries and armies die for their leaders, but He's a leader that dies for His people. It's different totally. There's a saying that goes, if you can't lead the people if you don't love the people. You can't save the people if you don't serve the people. And so that's what He was saying here, that if you want to be great, go serve one another. Amen. And then He says in the 28th verse, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many." Woo. I love that. He came to ransom us, to redeem us. You know, ransom is just a condition met or required, you know, for the release of someone that's captive or bound. And we were captive and bound. And God paid the ransom money, which was the life of Jesus Christ, and we call that sacrifice. He sacrificed himself. He substituted himself. Are you with me? Amen. Everybody say substitution.
Substitution.
Now, Buddha never did that. See, Muhammad never did that. He never took our place. Moses never took our place. See, Jesus came with this intent. To do what? To give his life a ransom for many. Man, I love that. And I think it's appropriate when you think about it, he was born in a manger. You know, that's where animals are. Isn't that right? That's where sheep would be born. In some cases, you know, they would have sheep and cows, whatever, that would may eventually become sacrifices. So the symbolism is still there. He was born in a manger 2,000 years ago, and that should have showed us that we're talking about, you know, someone that's connected with us in the sense of sacrificing himself. And who's the first ones that came and worshipped him? The shepherds. The first ones to come were shepherds. And we talked about that the other night, that most likely they were temple shepherds. They weren't just regular shepherds, normal shepherds. Temple shepherds were out in the fields all year long. And there was a place right outside of Bethlehem where they had temple shepherds that watched sheep for sacrifice on the road to Jerusalem. A place called Migdal Eder, which is the Tower of the Flock. It's where Jacob kept his sheep. It was just a short distance from Bethlehem. Most likely those shepherds were temple shepherds who were used to examining sheep, raising sheep, feeding sheep for sacrifice for the temple. And the angels appeared to them and basically said, "We want you to go look at the Lamb of God." Amen. And when they did, they told everybody about it. I'm sure word spread all over. By the time that Mary and Joseph and Jesus got to the temple, by the time he was 8 days old, you know, they took him to the temple. There was a prophet there named Simeon that was there that had said that he would not die until he saw the salvation of Israel. And when he saw Jesus as a baby, he recognized him as such. And Anna, the prophetess, did the same thing. Came in and saw him in the temple. She was 84 years old, spent her time fasting and praying in the temple night and day. And she saw Jesus. And the Bible says she went and told everyone that would listen about this Jesus, about this Savior. I'm sure word had been spread by those shepherds who were most likely temple shepherds, you know, that the Messiah had been born, the Savior born in Bethlehem of Judea, as Micah had said in Micah 5:2. So he came as a lamb. He came as a sacrifice. He did show us a wonderful way. He did teach the greatest teaching anyone's ever taught. He was the best example anyone could follow. And you and I ought to follow in his footsteps. And we ought to be kind and nice and loving and forgiving and holy. And we ought to reach out to people and love people. But all of our loving and all of our giving and all of our kindness and all of our blessing others is not going to save us. We still needed a Savior to save us from our sins. And that's what Jesus came to do, to ransom us. He came as a ransom for many. Look at 1 Timothy 2. Thank God. Now, he didn't stay dead. We know he rose again. That's another story. We're going to celebrate that in a few months. Actually, we celebrate that every day. But you know what we call Easter? The resurrection is what we celebrate. 1 Timothy, first chapter. It's second chapter. 1 Timothy, second chapter, yes. This is interesting because this is talking about prayer and praying for people and those in authority. 1 Timothy 2:1. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications and prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. Now see, if you don't pray for our leaders and they make bad decisions, and when they make bad decisions, it affects us and we don't live so peaceably, are you with me, so godly and so reverently. So no matter how bad a leader might be, we're under a mandate from God to pray for them. We may not like what they do. We're human, and we recognize right and wrong. I mean, there's nothing in the Bible says I have to like leaders, but there's a lot in the Bible says I have to pray for them. Are you with me? And so if we're just going to gripe and complain, we're not going to do any good. We need to pray for our leaders, amen? Because that's going to affect us. Excuse me. After you pray, then you can gripe. But anyway. For this, he says, praying for leaders. Third verse. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. I like that. Don't you want to please God? I do. And so praying for leaders pleases the Lord, and that's what we should do. Who desires that all men be saved. Wow. And to come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants everyone saved. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So that theme you see all through the Scripture, Jesus came with this intent and this purpose to ransom us. There was a price on our head. Did you know that? Been a price on our head ever since Adam sinned 2,000 years ago. Price you couldn't pay and I couldn't pay. Price too high. And no man could pay it. So God came down and paid it with the death, the life and the death of His Son, Jesus. That we celebrate this time of year, being born in that manger scene in Bethlehem of Judea. Who came as a lamb. Think about that. In fact, really, that's exactly... Turn over to John chapter 1. I know there's nothing new here. We know this. Need to be reminded of it. Amen. Sometimes our concept's a little different. Listen, Christianity is so unique. It doesn't even fall, in my thinking, in the category of religion. Okay? Religion is man's search for God. It's a way of worshiping or so on and so forth. Christianity is the truth. Amen. It's based on facts. It's based on history. It's based on what took place 2,000 years ago. It is the truth about God and about man, about heaven, about hell, about the world that we live in and the world to come. Christianity is more than a religion. Jesus is not just another religious leader. You're a Muslim. You're a Christian. You're a Buddhist. Oh, come on now. No, this is not even the same kind of talk we're talking about here. This is not a teaching we're following as if we were a Buddhist or Muslims. This is a Savior that saved us from our sin. This is a leader who died for us, God in the flesh, who gave His life that we might live forever, who ransomed us. Muhammad didn't give His life for anybody. Buddha didn't come to die for anybody. Are you kidding? He didn't take the place of one person. Never said He would. Never said He could. Muhammad never did either. Jesus was not just a prophet. He was not just a teacher. He came to take our place. He came to die for us. Wow. And that's what we see through the Scripture. So we're not even, well, you know, you never know. Those people raised over there as Muslims, and we're raised as Christians. Maybe if we were raised there, we'd think different. And, you know, we're all worshiping the same God. No, we're not. Well, all religions are the same. No, it isn't. Not at all. Not at all. Well, you know, Muhammad's a great man. Well, whoever prophesied, he'd come. Nobody. I'm not dissing him. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you cannot compare Jesus to anybody. Jesus was the Son of God. He was God in the flesh. He came and died for our sins and rose again. He paid the price for our sins. He didn't just give us a good teaching. He wasn't just a good example that we all follow. Although He is all that, but He isn't just that. That was not His mission to come and give us a new religion. His mission wasn't to come down here and teach us some things we didn't know. His mission wasn't even to come down here to live in a way to show people how we're supposed to live. And it could be done. That wasn't His mission. He did all that, yes. His mission was to die for our sins. To ransom us. Wow. John. Notice what it says here in John. This is John the Baptist, First Baptist. You know what I always say? You know that he had the same middle name as Kermit the Frog. Okay. 29th verse. The next day, 29th verse, first chapter. John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Man, I love that. Notice what he didn't say. Behold, the prophet of the Lord. Behold, a great teacher is among us. No. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Now, what's a lamb for? What do you do with a lamb? You sacrifice a lamb. That's what they've done year by year by year by year. A family, a lamb for a house. So there's no question about what John was talking about. When he saw Jesus, he saw the Lamb of God that was going to be sacrificed, that was going to die to take away the sin of the world. And then he talks about him in detail here, and he goes right on down to the 36th verse, or 35th verse. And again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples. This is after he baptized them. And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Man, I love that. So that's what, in that manger, you know, we see all those animals around there and the shepherds coming, you know, and all the pictures that we have in our mind. But we don't necessarily picture the fact that that little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes was a lamb being prepared and readied for sacrifice. That was in 10 he came down here. Hebrews 10, turn there, if you would. Hebrews 10th chapter. This helping you this morning?
Yes,
I'm going to let you out early today because I can. But I do have a few more scriptures I want to go to here. You know, I think we ought to get our perspective right. I'm reading a book right now. It has nothing to do with this message here, but I love the title. It says, "Your God is Too Small." And what it's talking about is that, you know, often our concepts of God as a little child, we grow out of that. And we get older and we lose our faith because our concept was wrong. Our God was too small. You know, are you with me? And he kind of goes through all the different aspects of our concept of God, a policeman, the grand old man, was one chapter talked about. How he's an old, kids think of God as being old, you know, and not really understanding current progressive things. As you grow older, you know, your concept of God, if he's an old person, then he's not really into what's going on now. Hello. That God needs to catch up, you know, or something. But what it was is your God's too small. That's what it was. It wasn't anything wrong with God himself. It was what was wrong with your God, your concept. And sometimes we pick up these concepts of God, even growing up. You know, we think of Jesus as being a good man, good teacher, and so on. But he's more than that. And we have Christmas, and we celebrate the birth of Christ, and we should. But we tend to think of him as that little babe in a manger, you know. And the virgin birth, a miracle. Thank God for it. God visited us, no question. That's wonderful. We know that. We celebrate that. But that was just the start. If we leave him there in the manger, we're in trouble. If we just see him as a little baby, we've missed it too. Because he's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. We're Christians, they're Muslims, they're Buddhists, they're Shintoists, they're Confucianism, whatever, you know. Oh, no, it's not, no, you can't do that. You cannot, there's nothing similar about our religion as far as the basic tenets of our faith. There's nothing similar between our religion and other religions. You say, well, don't we all teach being nice to one another? Yeah, but that's not the basic tenet of Christianity. First of all, Christianity is based on a miracle, the virgin birth. Nothing like that in any other religion. Yeah. Nothing like that in the Muslim faith, the Buddhist faith. Nothing like that. Nothing, not even close. Jesus was God. I'm sorry, don't have one out there like that. There's not another religion like that. Can't think of any major religions. I'm talking about major religions that even comes close to that. Jesus' whole intent and purpose was to die. What? Yeah, he came to die. That's what he came to do. That was his purpose for us, to take our place. Now, can't think anybody even comes close to that. And here's one for you. He rose again. Tomb's empty. I'm not getting it. I just can't think anybody. I don't know, maybe I'm missing it here or something. If you can think of somebody, let me know. But I don't think any other religion leader or anybody that even comes close to that. Hello. And he split time in half. Here we are living in 2010 A.D., the year of the Lord. Everything before that was B.C. Wow. I don't think anybody came close to that. Nobody even draws the emotion that this Jesus does, good and bad. People either love him or they hate him. They want to silence anybody that talks about him, or they want to shout him from the mountaintops. There's just not a lot of middle ground here. You don't get persecuted for talking about church and God and the good Lord and the man upstairs. But when you say Jesus, all of a sudden that just puts another ball game altogether. Are you with me? And no one has ever made a cuss word out of Buddha or Muhammad or Moses. But you heard people using Jesus' name when they're mad. Hello? Upset? They stump their toe or hit their head or whatever? I mean, no one evokes that kind of emotion. Jesus is not like anybody else. He's not like any other religion. Oh, you got your religion, I got my religion. Oh, wait a minute. No, Christianity doesn't even fit that mold, okay? Not even in that category. Hebrews 10, y'all found it? Hebrews 10 tells us this. I'm going to read a few verses here. For the law having a shadow of the good things to come, the Old Testament, the law, and not the very image of the things. In other words, it's just a picture. All those laws and feasts and everything were just pictures and shadows of what? Of Jesus. I love the Hebrews where it says the 10th verse, 10th chapter, 1st verse, for the law having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of those things. And the 11th chapter, 1st verse says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The law won't get you what faith will get. Amen? Amen? And the law won't do what Jesus did, because Jesus came and fulfilled the law. It was just a shadow, just a picture, and Jesus come along, He's the substance of it. And it says it can never, first verse, with those same sacrifices which they offered continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. He's talking about the law required sacrifice year by year by year. For, second verse, then would they not have ceased to be offered? I mean, he's asking a question. If the sacrifice perfected everybody, wouldn't they quit offering them? But every year they offer them again, don't they? So that tells us the law never made anybody perfect. All those sacrifices didn't do any good. For then would they not have been offered or ceased? For the worshipers once purified would have no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year. Every year there's a reminder of it. For it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, when He came into the world, speaking of Jesus, He said, sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but a body you have prepared for Me. Now think about that. What He's saying is that you prepared My body for a sacrifice. All the sacrifices and offerings you would not take and you would not receive, and they did not do the trick. So you prepared Me a body for sacrifice. That's what Jesus came to do. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. Jesus has come. In the volume of book it is written of Me to do Your will, O Lord. Previously speaking, or saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then He said, behold, I have come to do Your will, O God. He takes away the first, the old sacrifice, the old law, the Old Testament, that He may establish the second, the new sacrifice, the New Testament, Jesus' sacrifice. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Amen. See, that's what Christianity is about. When we talk about the tenets of our faith, it's about a sacrifice. It's about a Savior. It's about a ransom. It's about a Lamb, God's Lamb, who took away our sins forever. For by that will we have been sanctified, made holy, set apart, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Let's read on a little further. And every priest stands ministering daily and offers repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, Jesus, forever sat down at the right hand of God. Wow. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being set apart and made holy. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, For after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and in their minds. I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now when there is remission of sins, there is no longer an offering for sins. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest of holies by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way, he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. Wow. I know that's a lot of scripture reading, but you can see the point I'm making here. Jesus came for that intent. He came for that purpose, to give himself. You say, well, they killed Jesus. Well, actually, he laid his life down. They couldn't have killed him if he didn't let them. If he didn't go as a lamb to the slaughter, they would not have been able to take his life. His life was his own to give, and his life was his own to take back up again. Amen. And he did. 3 days later, he rose again. 1 Corinthians 15, I'll close this out. Oh, I'm going to get you out real early today. This isn't right. I need to keep you longer, don't I? 1 Corinthians 15. Hallelujah. Just food for thought. You know, it helps to get our perspective straight. That's why we come to church. Amen. That's why we read the Bible. That's so we can get our thinking straight. This is bigger than just a babe in a manger. That was just the start of this thing. Amen. We're celebrating a Savior. We're celebrating the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. Praise God. We're celebrating a ransom. We've been ransomed. We've been paid for. Hallelujah. With the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul speaking. Great chapter. Don't have time to read the whole thing. But he says this. First verse. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, the good news, which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand. I love that. Everybody say stand. I don't fall by Christianity. I stand by Christianity. By which also you are saved. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. I mean, this is the gospel, okay? The gospel doesn't stop at the manger. The gospel doesn't stop with his sinless holy life. The gospel doesn't stop with the Sermon on the Mount and the Golden Rule and the great teaching that Jesus taught. The gospel doesn't stop with the miracles and the healings and the resurrections that he did. He raised people from the dead. The gospel doesn't stop there. The gospel, the good news, is that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, fourth verse, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day, according to the Scripture. That's the gospel, my brother and sister. That Jesus died for our sins. He was buried. Woo! And he rose again the third day. And the Scripture goes on and tells us he's coming again too. Amen. You know, they look for his coming the first time. We look for his coming the second time. We look back to the time that he came first to save us and we're saved. And we look forward to the time he's coming to receive us to himself again. If he goes away, he said, if I go away, I will come again and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So it could even be today. Hallelujah. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank God he came. Thank God he paid the price. Thank God he died for our sins. Thank God he ransomed us. This suicide mission turned out a little different. Most of them, he came back to life again. And he did it for us, praise God. And that's what Christmas is about. I mean, we have a Savior, and we've been ransomed, we've been paid for. We got the gift, okay? The gift of eternal life. He that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son has not life. And you never will be able to top that one. Man, I got one of those Kindle readers for Christmas. Awesome thing. I love that thing. Just love it. I've been looking at it and slobbering over it, you know, and lusting over it. And now I'm over. No, the sin's over. Now I have one. But, man, that's nothing compared to what Jesus did for me. Kids will talk about everything they got this year, you know, got a bicycle or got, you know, an iPod or whatever. I don't know. I'm going to get out of touch here if I start naming stuff. You know, they got the latest game, the latest this, latest that, and we talk about great gifts, maybe a car, a truck, whatever. Hey, let me tell you something. God topped all the gifts when He gave us Jesus. Because when He gave us Jesus, He gave us life. And Jesus came and died for our sins, and we've been ransomed. We have a Redeemer. We've been redeemed and ransomed through Christ Jesus. Merry Christmas.